I got quite a few. Zubair, I thank you for your presentation and the logical perspective. You say this is a preliminary budget, which I'm happy to hear. I think that following Maria's suggestion, I hope the board postpones the approval on this until we've had time to digest it. So I propose that we take a month or have another meeting in a couple of weeks or something to give it the appropriate consideration.
They did it a month ago.
In any event,
there was no budget.
Please, stop interrupting me. I'm just finishing the comments. I'm giving it. My thing back to Newberry. And so, therefore, there's another aspect too that you may or not be aware of. But it's long-standing LSB policy that every item of $5,000 or more needs to be approved as a line item thing by the board, and we don't vote for 10 of them in one meeting at one time. That's our process. And so since your budget has a lot of new items, which are probably good ideas, I hope you take the time to become fully informed about it and vote for each of these items of more than $5,000 individually, because ultimately the board needs to weigh in on our priorities for the spending. And of course you need to inform us, you know, so that we understand your rationale. Since we're no longer getting a discount on our central services for giving free rent to the archives, I hope you will consider the possibility of asking them, because I think they might be better at raising funds than we are, to ask them to chip in to help out the station, as we've been helping them out for years and years, and maybe chip in with some rent or something. It just seems logical. We've been helping them out for years. They should help us out now when we're hurting for money. Another question has to do with what is our current number of full-time equivalent employees. I understand that Nadia Richardson, who used to be a board op, is now back on full-time, and I'd like to get the full understanding as to whether or not we've been hiring new people in a time when we're really hurting for money. And particularly, is Nadia on full-time, and what is the full-time equivalent? More generally, the network is under attack from a variety of reasons, and John Perkins wrote a great book on our premium for years, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and what you do is you basically get people to take on debt. So WBI, for example, is taking on debt from Lydia Brazone's employer, Aris Agnos or something. I really think that you need to protect the station with regard to not taking on the debt, and taking on debt because that can later be used, as John Perkins showed, to attack the station and the network, and I don't want to lose our station just because we are overly optimistic. And the other thing, just a comment about the premiums, as we just discussed, the premium cost is assumed to be 10% of our wholesale cost is 10% of that to the listener, and so we need to take those all into account and make sure that at least as an average, or we need to be profitable. So now it's time for you to respond.
Okay, I'm sorry, John, could you ask that first question? I didn't get to jot down the note.
Oh, you stated it was a preliminary budget, and I'm happy to hear that. And I hope that we can have some more interplay discussion, and so if you can inform us, and we can counter-inform you with regard to our priorities, and just fully understand this.
Absolutely, I'm completely open to that. The way when I manage the station is by collaboration, cooperation, and certainly with respect. If you guys don't want to vote on that today, I'm comfortable with that. I certainly do want to work with you guys and have you guys work with me in putting forth a solid budget for us to be a part of the strategic plan moving forward. In regards to Nadia's been working to help fulfill some of the duties that Jessica normally would handle. We started to have some media sponsorships fall between the cracks and other commitments too as well. Certainly had to bring somebody in to help tend to those duties. She's also helped out in the business office to catch us up with, you know, putting in the actuals, processing the actuals from this year's spending. WBAI and debt. I'm not trying to get the station in any more debt. I'm trying to actually get us out of debt, and so we can actually have a savings for a rainy day fund. We just had one of our air conditioned units go out, and I really don't have the money to fix it and or to replace it. It actually needs to be replaced rather than spend just as much to fix it. I think that's all the questions that we have. Did I reach all your points? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you more later on, but thank you.
Well, I'll take this moment then to share a bit of good news. We, on October 1st, you will be able to text KPOK to 20222 to make a $10 donation.
Right.
So that's around the corner. We'll certainly be promoting that, going through the drive, and as well as, you know, as well as moving forward, and certainly want to ask folks to promote that too as well, especially during events. And I guess we'll move on to the next.
Give us those codes again, please.
It's text KPMK to 20222. So 222. Kim, okay. Oh, wait. I think there was a stack.
Right behind you.
20222.
Yes, 20222. So 20222.
What's the net on that
$10? We paid 32 cents in processing.
And setup costs, there are other costs.
There were other costs involved. I didn't walk with that. I'm going to include that in when I finish the budget. I mean, not the budget, the monthly report on Monday.
It's 32%. It's not 32 cents. It's a lot more than
32 cents. No, it's 32 cents that we get charged for processing a $10 donation.
There are other costs.
Fine. Thank you, Kim. Moving on. Mr. Ponder has the floor.
Yes, Sabri, thank you again for being here. Two questions, pretty quick. The first is looking at your income expense statement. So line 50 shows surplus or deficit. And you're projecting a $410.9 thousand deficit this year,
no.
Of course.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. September 30th.
No, the projected is on line 36. Hold on a second.
I can see that. Well, I could have a question for there as well. In any case, I'm not clear, but the total 50 reflects capital items as well as non-capital items, as I'm reading this. Capital items are things like computers and other stuff. So let me start with my second question. And that was the balance sheet that talks about assets and liabilities. I gather that is not this in any respect.
No.
This is about money coming in and going out.
Yes.
So it's an income expenditure statement. So the word assets. Okay. So we've got $410,000 negative for 2014. Next year you project a $46,000 in the black, positive. Does that $46,000 reflect covering the $410,000? That's the first.
You mean the loss from this previous
September 30th
fiscal year? You're saying?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. And that's why my second question, and that's the balance sheet. So the balance sheet would show it is that you own and what it is that you owe. And it show how much money we've got, it show what kind of assets we've got. We really need both. And my question goes to, firstly, how are you going to cover that shortfall of 410? We need to subtract 410 from the $46,000 positive for next year. This is all for anyone who wants to look at line 50. And the second question is, when do you anticipate getting an asset liability report, which is the balance sheet? Thank you, Governor. I can handle it for you.
I can can give you a definitive date on that one, but I certainly will. I can provide an answer on Monday. I have to talk to the business manager as well as Raul too as well.
And what about the other question? How are you going to cover them? How are you currently covered?
Well, some of it was actually covered by, we did receive some monies from folks that passed away that left us in their plan giving. We received some grants too as well.
But where is that reflected then?
Oh, that doesn't show this. This is just a budget for next year. Now, if you want the actuals, we're still in the process of processing the actuals. And that's one of the reasons why we brought Nadia on to help with the data entry to provide accurate action. So we're still working on that.
So these requests or whatever they may be that you hope for are not reflected
here. No, I was referring to some of the requests that we got earlier on in this year.
Is that not the income?
We can't put that in the budget. I mean, I hope people live as long as they
can. Because this statement should say what, in the course of the fiscal year, has or will come in terms of income and what will go out in terms of expense. And then we need to know what it is that we own and what it is that we owe. And that's the balance sheet. So I think both of those questions, at least for me, remain open. I hope a balance sheet is forthcoming, as well as reflecting somehow how you're going to bridge the difference between columns O and P.
Had an accurate deficit, I think, certainly this current fiscal year and the previous one. Part of the problem with coming up with the balance sheet is that we still don't have audited financials for fiscal year 2013. We're in the process of getting that. Once that's done, they'll be able to understand what the carryover is and what start working in 2014.
Well, my hope would be that we have working reports internally to keep an eye on those things, so they're not waiting until that comes down to tell us what the answers are. I mean, we absolutely need that. If we don't know how much more we own than what we own right now, we have a problem with that. And that's pretty straightforward. Thank you. If I could very well be wrong, most of the time I am. But,
no, I appreciate your question.
Steve Brooks is up next. If you've already spoken on it, you're probably not going to get called on this round. Steve Brooks.
Oh, okay. So, what I see, well, first of all, I'd like to get the commitment that you're not asking us to
use the microphone, please.
First off, I'd like to get the commitment that you're not asking for a vote on the budget at this point. That's interim, as you said before, and that it's a work in progress.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can't ask you guys not to vote. It's up to you guys to do that. As I mentioned earlier, I said I'd love to have more time for us to work together over this budget.
But at any rate, you're confirming that this is an interim budget.
The potential finance committee is going to be voting on budgets with recommendations to the CND because the fiscal year ends on September 30th. So whether the LSP acts or not, this will be an action taken at the LSP level on this budget.
Well, anyway, so what I see here is very optimistic revenue, extremely optimistic, and underestimated expenses. So that, I mean, to me, that's how we're getting from 410 negative to 46 positive. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of talking that we need to do on the finance committee about these numbers. But the other problem is we don't have the actual, so we're just operating in the dark. We're guessing and being very optimistic about a lot of things that we don't have any history to verify. It's all a wish and a hope, as far as I can see. But, and I'll say, if there is going to be a vote on this, I don't know if anyone's going to ask for it, but the Finance Committee is not processed, so there's been no recommendation even from the Finance Committee that's familiar with this stuff. So, all that being said, I'll say that, for instance, on the amount being spent on premiums, well, if that's one-tenth, then you would only expect $2.1 million in listener support based on that. So that's one example of being ultra-optimistic. All of a sudden now we're not only going from way less than 10%, we're going to more than 10%. So it's extremely optimistic, and I can't find anything to justify it. It's all hopeful. I understand the hope, but I don't see how that we can base a budget on hope. So, because that'll just run us into the ground. And we have a whole bunch of capital expenses that, you know, I'm sure are justified, but I don't know we have the budget for it. So there's a lot of expense there. Everything, you know, is kind of going up, and yet some of our other costs, other than personnel, somehow magically went down.
Actually, some of them have gone up, as I mentioned earlier. We factored in the rate of inflation, and for utilities and telecom costs, those continue to rise, so we raised them. We raised those two as well.
Well, somehow we managed to add even more expenses than before for advertising and printing and so forth. I just don't know where all this money is coming from, because it doesn't seem based in reality. We don't have the revenue based on what we did this last year. We're being super optimistic and saying we're going to have much more listener support, and we're going to have much higher website income, or you said that was miscalculated, perhaps?
No, it's not miscalculated. This year we've gotten more web revenue unexpectedly, and it's been a trend throughout the whole year, so it's something we can anticipate in continuing to increase as we go forward.
For instance, a super optimistic projection of this capital campaign that we haven't done before. Like this year we have a zero. All of a sudden we're making $162,000 from our capital campaign. I mean, it's optimistic. And the car donations are much higher than they've been this year. All these things, they just don't add up. I certainly plead with the LSB not to vote on a budget that even our general manager is saying interim.
That's
so
preliminary.
In progress.
May I respond? I believe the center of true progress lies optimism. And these aren't just lofty I hopes. We've got to conduct fund drives in a different manner. Our fund drive starts October 1st, but we're going to be asking folks to start donating next week. Also, I'm going to be spending time on calling a list of our major donors and advocates, because there are people that do want to contribute more. So there's a lot that we can do, and that's why I ask for your help in, one, not just being optimistic with me, but making it become a reality. We can achieve this. I mean, it's not far-fetched. I don't see it as far-fetched. If we improve the way that we conduct the fund drives, which you can ask the staff, I've certainly been very proactive in coordinating the programmers and the staff. And, you know, we started planning for this fund drive a month ago. And as we continue to move forward, it is only going to get better. There are things that we're going to do off the air before the fund drive to raise money. As I said, calling major donors. A letter campaign. I didn't put the letter campaign in this budget because I don't know what it's going to yield. From my understanding, Bernard, I believe, had did a letter campaign to folks in Beverly Hills. He spent $2,000. The return on investment was $10,000. So I think by being creative, thinking outside of the box, becoming more effective fundraisers, engaging donors. I mean, we've lost quite a few donors, but by spending time with them on the phone, they've decided to continue their commitment with KPFA. So there's a lot of courses that are going to be reflected in the budget, but once I put forth the strategic plan for 2015, a lot of those things will connect the dots. We're looking at ways, we can't continue to do business the way that we did business before. It's not going to work. We're not going to yield greater results. We've got to be innovative and engage our donors. I think it's absolutely important that we engage our donors and create more of an impact in the communities that we serve.
Can I ask one follow-up question?
Sure.
How many fund drive days are you planning for this coming year?
We are planning I'm anticipating more than 95 days. Now, we can approximately 95 days. Now, we can eliminate one of those drives and we can raise approximately $400,000 off of the air. What, how's that going to happen? By us being proactive. By us reaching out to our constituents, creating more awareness of the station. Now, I did put money in there for advertising because it's essential that we advertise the station because we have a valuable a gem here that's, you know, been yet, I think, to reach its potential. These billboard campaigns that I did over the last few months, there has been, we've received plenty of calls, not just me, but other programmers while they're on the show. Hey, I just tuned into your radio station because of the billboard. If we are out there creating a greater awareness of the station, we are creating the opportunity for people to donate. Greater awareness of the station means greater, more listeners. More listeners means more active donors.
I think you're dreaming.
I am a dreamer. I am optimistic. I am someone that inspires. I didn't accept this job not to push the station into reaching its full potential. I accepted this job because I want to push the station to reach its full potential. I want you guys to push me to help the station reach its full potential. It is possible. And if I have a dream about that, I'm entitled to that. And if someone thinks quite the opposite, you know what, I respect that. I will continue to have my dream that KPFK can be the greatest public radio station in Los Angeles. And it's only going to happen as more and more people are aware of KPFK. I want to be able to ask, so when I say to someone I work for a public radio station, they don't come to me and say, oh, is it an NPR? So to me, that lets me know that more people need to know about KPFK. We have great programming, we have some programming that could certainly be improved. But by whole, you guys are here because you are aware of KPFK, you love it, you have a dedication to it, and there are thousands of other people out there in Los Angeles that haven't been given the opportunity to become aware of KPFK and to support KPFK. So if having a dream about a great and a successful KPFK is wrong, then I'm okay by being wrong.
Hear, hear.
Right. I'm just going to use the stats that we have right now. I'm next on the stats. Chris Cohn, then Ramon, Lydia Razon, then we're coming back around. Excuse me. If there's nobody else on the first round, then we'll go back with John Wenger and Kim. Have your hands up again.
Michael
put me on the stack 15 or 20 minutes ago. Yes, you're on the stack right after me.
Thank you.
I said Michael, Chris, Lamont, Lydia, and John Parker. And then we got John Wenger, Kim, and Lawrence on the second round. John Contrast to John Parker himself for the first round. So I'll say a few things. To the members of the local station board, we got the electronic version. The electronic version has a tab that's called Listener Support Collections, and that tab will show you the fund drive days that are scheduled, when they're scheduled, and the anticipated proceeds based on 50% the first month.
Can we put it up on there?
Yeah, that would be good.
I'll say that in general, I think a budget that's designed for growth is essential. I wish we've been able to have a preliminary discussion of the budget and some strategic planning last month. In its absence, we're doing what we can this month. Just to clarify to people some of the pre-existing problems, this budget process should have been happening in May,
That's right.
Not in September. And the reason it didn't is because the network was put up with a use game data hold that has taken months to try to build because financials were not posted properly. The chief financial officer let go for a period of time. Nobody entered the current fiscal year's budget into the software. In order to do that, we lost our local business manager, which we replaced with Jonathan later on. Napoleon later on. So we've been delaying the dollars for all the figures that we needed to come up with this. I think that some of the things here need to be seen as
the capital campaign, so I think the capital expenses need to depend on the success of that campaign. I do think that the previous 2 years budget, both of which came in with operating deficits, is because there were personnel cuts that were mandated by the national board that never took place. And I think that if the optimism on improving listening support and increasing listenership doesn't manifest itself, then there are going to have to be some changes in that. One other thing I wanted to add is that I thought I mentioned with you that the personnel here is also based, as everybody's aware, we're operating currently two positions. He's the operations manager and the interim general manager. And that's not going to continue indefinitely. We're operating with an interim program director and an interim business manager. All those positions have to be filled. For the program director, that will require research, and so there needs to be a budget, additional budget on the stage of board line for the advertising for the program director search. Probably usually another $1,500 or $1,600. That would cost exactly this time for the GM search, but comparable figure. I'll just mention that we have established the development task force, which is trying to commit itself to raising money out there through various forms, writing grants, investigating writing grants. Listener, the major donor campaigns, I think all of the people involved who want to participate in the call out. I think the call out is a vital addition to our fundraising in Iran era office, where we're calling last listeners and people who made pledges and stopped fulfilling them. And I think the other piece of that is the localization board. I'm happy that you're proposing the fundraising letter, but I think that all the board members who are concerned about these issues should conceive of themselves as being part of the fundraising team for KPFK and act accordingly. I don't know if you have any response on the idea of provisional items here, the possibility of cuts if needed.
Yeah, the capital campaign is, my intention is to strictly raise that off the air, and of course, we're not going to move forward on any of it, with the exception of it, it's an absolute necessity, particularly with the computer, since Windows XP, it's not, and we all know the story of that. So there are some security concerns, so we need to upgrade the computers. That is one of the necessities. But that's what we're looking to do, is to raise money for the capital improvement off the air. And again, I invite you guys to come help us achieve these goals, help us become winners.
Chris, down in the net.
I think that the reason why we are in perennially difficult financial situations is because we have programming that repels more listeners than it attracts. And this is something that we don't want to deal with. We've had programmers been there for 20, 30 years clinging onto their microphones with the expectation that they'll die with their microphones in their hands. We have programming, forgive me, for those on the other side, that most of our listeners cannot understand the language that it's in. We have political programming that is pro-war, supports war in the Ukraine, and is a open channel for national security disinformation. In every single respect, our programming sucks. And I don't see anything in our mission statement or in the originating documents of the Pacifica Foundation that gives the Pacifica Foundation to a failed, complicit, corrupt political ideology which has been co-opted by national security operatives and which has been completely taken over by Democratic Party hacks. And since I have been back to this country, and I can't tell you what a breath of relief it is to be able to live outside the American imperial system for an extended period of time. But the programming is pure propaganda on KPFK, and with a mix of completely useless and disinterested programming. It's a real struggle for me to listen to it. I don't listen to KPFK, and by my own declaration, I'm not an elected listener. I was, you know, drug up the bottom of the alternate barrel like half the people over on the other side that I'm looking at. And but I'm, by my own declaration, representing the thousands or tens of thousands of listeners who have left KPFK, who no longer give to KPFK, don't tune in, and not that they hate it, it's just that it's boring and it's not engaging, it doesn't offer useful political information, it offers the kind of information that the progressive leadership wants us to know, and the progressive leadership is less than useless in this country. So until we deal with the fact that we don't have anything to offer to anybody, Zubri, I'm really sorry. The programming sucks. There's no reason to listen to KPFK. And the retention is so low, that's why you need these constant fund drives, because you constantly need to be adding new listeners because you don't retain your old ones. I have personally interviewed over 100 former KPFK listeners and gotten very detailed answers about why they don't listen anymore. And this has been going on for the last 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this. Nobody will like the answers, because if every single answer speaks to a sacred cow that somebody here wants to defend, whether it's Democratic Party policies or Spanish language programming or something that there's a constituency for in here, but nobody cares about out there. And until you recognize that you're doing something that you really need to engage people out there, you're just in a fantasy world. A fantasy world that engages nobody in reality. This is at a time when my country is slipping into a state of fascism, and I think that you're all just too afraid to confront it. So you want to do this easy thing of nice, easy stuff, and talking about the Reconquista and Adventland fantasies, where the reality is the country is sinking into fascism, and nobody wants to do anything about it because you're all too scared. So we don't have anything to offer anybody. The idea that we can improve our financial position by the kind of programming that we have is pure poppycock.
Okay, thank you.
Pure poppycock. Thank you very much.
If you were here for the last LSB meeting, I said I do have a commitment to improving programming, but I feel the folks that have volunteered and have sacrificed their time to put on programming, we owe it to them to set the expectation and the bar, the bar of excellence, which I think has been lacking and is why some of our programming hasn't been great. Because there hasn't been a vision to point us in the direction of what excellence is or how to measure the success of a program. This past week, I put out a program. This is one of the things in how I feel that we need to know what the needs are. The station should support programmers to create the best programs that they can. And that has been lacking, and that is why I feel it was necessary to start with a survey to get input from programs to find out what it is they need to succeed. I don't believe in setting people up for failure. I want to set our programmers up for success, whether they speak English or whether they speak Spanish or any other language. Now, on the heels of that, it is my intention to do a survey of listeners. I do respect your opinions on the programming here, but I hope you do respect the opinions. There are people that love KPFK for various reasons. I think every one of us, or the majority of us that listen to KPFK, there's some things that we're not going to enjoy listening. And it's the nature of our station that it makes you feel uncomfortable. It challenges you to think critically.
If only
and
that was true.
I gave you your opportunity. You are more than welcome, and I highly respect your perspective. And I ask for the same for you. You know, there is programming that I don't like, you know, and that's okay. There's programming that I do love, and that's okay. You know, people spend a lot of time to go out of their way to complain rather than without also giving gratitude. So we have had positive calls at the station. I've spoken to a number of individuals. So until we can actually survey the listenership and to get their opinions, then you know, from those opinions, we can decide on what programming changes need to be made.
I think the month, the AP is next.
Listen, a lot of time has already been spent. I was going to say thank you. You're taking on a big task here.
Here's the mic.
Is it on? Can you hear me?
No, you
gotta
put it right
in
front of your mouth.
Tilt it towards
you.
Good. Now you're turning your head away from that. Look, thank you, Barry, for being here. I think this side of the LSD wants the station to survive and succeed. And in that regard, we have shared, I would say, not so much a fantasy optimism, but a deep concern about reconciling the severe deficits we keep running year after year, and we appear to have them now as well. And while your remarks are welcome, they still don't satisfy or resolve the basic issues of the funds that we're not getting in right now. Steve Brooks, I won't belabor it because I think he laid forth much of my comments that I would make, so for the sake of time, I'll proceed. But I would urge you to, before certainly I for one can approve this budget, to not just deliver an interim budget, but as fine tuned as possible, to be able to reconcile between what we have actually secured in money, and then what our debts are. Because until we come to terms with that, we really, really are continuing to tread on insecure ground. No matter how optimistic you may be, no matter how wishful we may on this side of it, or all the other side for that matter. I would like to just say parenthetically, with all due respect to my comments, to my colleague John Winger, the archives is also hurting. Virtually every division is there. The archives has no money. The archives serves an indispensable service, not just to this particular station, but to all the stations. It is the record of what the station has done, even if it folds up tonight and tomorrow. So I, for one, certainly Lisa in this regard, would say that where you decide to cut, please don't tax them another 1%. They don't have it. But one of the things they have been able to do is go outside of a certificate and raise additional outside money, which is essentially what's keeping them afloat, foundation money and so forth and so on. On the other hand, where we have the Corporation for Public Broadcasting money, it is really appalling that we continue to lose that amount of money that we could and should have in our budget. So whatever you do, I hope it is in concert with certainly Mr. Novak on the other side and Kim Kaufman and our group on this side. Otherwise, we continue to flounder and the station is really on a down steep slope to collapse. And that's it.
I'll keep it brief.
Yeah.
I'll keep this brief because I've got about 30 minutes or so before I gotta take off. But I'm interested in hearing what kind of commitments the board is going to make to help us raise funds to help create a stronger KPFK from within. I'm certainly extending the hand and the olive branch to create that relationship to create a successful KBOK. I can't do it by myself. I don't think any one of us can, but I think with the number of people here, we're talented. We have a commitment to KPFK. So let's work together in creating more awareness and raising funds for the station. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying that. I'm waiting for that commitment.
Yeah. Could I just make one little final comment?
I'm sorry, we're really running late, and I want to have time for some additional public comments. So
can I just get a follow-up
to this? Yeah,
that was an absolute thing, not to. He's got to leave at 4:30 for family
obligation. He's got to leave, but
yeah.
Since the salary is the main source of our cost, you mentioned that labor, our union agreement, assures the 3% for our employees. Does that cover administrative salaries as well? Because oftentimes administration is a different line item than what we think of as the rank and file that are covered by the labor. Because if it isn't, I would urge that the administrative costs not increase.
I'm not one of those individuals that's getting an increase if that's what you're asking.
Because the contract only covers
staff,
not management.
That's
what
I
said. Yeah.
So all of staff.
Yeah. I think people deserve a cost of living.
No, increase. I would agree with that. Staff.
Yeah.
So, number one, I want to applaud you because you followed up on several people have had ideas, and you're the one following up and making them a reality in terms of creating an income stream for us. And I also want to applaud you because of having a glass half full vision. As a matter of fact, when WBAI was at its worst and everybody thought it was going to go away and whatever, it's that glass half full vision that has kept it going, and now we really see green shoots. And on that note, I know that when I had to take Paul right outside the door, that the issue was raised about the gentleman, the 90, almost 91-year-old gentleman, Erickson Agnos, who not only donates, is a major donor for KPFK and other stations, but also we're here always free because he donated this building to a 501c3 foundation, as he has the PATH Foundation for the homeless. You can talk to the people at the Venice homeless shelter as well, community health care. But anyway, the point is I want to clarify that about the debt. The debt is to the IRS and to the state because the termination at WBAI of those checks, the severance checks, were hand cut instead of going through paycheck.
Manually.
And so all of the taxes since March are due for over $140,000 worth of severance checks. Were never paid, never provided for. WBAI got a personal loan from someone for that $140,000. They just finished paying it off. So then we were going to be having, for $156,000 worth of taxes due, have penalties accrued every single day. So with facing that situation, I did go to Mr. Agnos of this building and asked him, and I worked for him, and we had an open session, a conflict of interest hearing around my relationship. I'm not a beneficiary to his trust who gave the loan. No interest loan, no penalties if the payments are late, nothing. He did not request a payment schedule. That was something the GM just finished doing for the 140 and believed he could do it for now. It's not the debt. The debt is already there to the government. So I want to make that clear. And to know that Eric's first comment is, oh, I know I'm never going to see this money again. But nevertheless, he's given more than that over the years to Pacifica. So everybody knows him throughout the community as a generous. I would not want to see his name be smirched. But more importantly, it is the vision of Lou Hill, the vision of everyone who thinks in terms of a glass half full, if it's accompanied by these. Which, like, again, I applaud you, Zuberi, because it's vote. It has to be vote. Thank you.
First I would say I agree with
someone was just over there was saying that
there is a language that, you know, on a program, there's a language that a lot of folks don't understand. It's English. And I say that in a little bit of a joke, but, you know, I'm picking up something, and, you know, it's not, it may put folks may think it's on Tommy, but, you know, as progressives, when we start to think or hear something that has a foul smell to it, we have to address it. You know, otherwise, it just gets worse and smells worse and worse. Before people tolerate it more, well, just kind of nip it in the bud. It has to do with, well, you know, we're speaking to a general manager who has experience with this and very intelligent. So let's make sure our comments aren't disrespectful or saying, you know, you're a dreamer. There's other ways to disagree with people. So that's just one thing. But the other thing, too, is the, it just kind of amazes me that people think they're so intelligent, can't understand or try to understand another language that's spoken by more than 50% of the people in this land that's just stolen from Mexico. So, and it's just, you know, you got to, we constantly hear this attacking against the grouping by a person over here. There was emails about it as well, and we never addressed it, and of course it could keep coming up again. And it's attacking. I mean, does anybody think that it's okay? We're progressive. We have a progressive mission statement. Is it okay to attack bilingual programming on this station?
No.
We have to go through that. It's not okay to attack that. It's not okay to attack the aspirations of liberation that are recognized by most people who speak Spanish, especially here in California. That's not okay, and we have to start nipping this in the bud when it happens over and over again. And I want to apologize to Rigo and Lawrence and Lydia and everybody who is Central American, South American, Mexican, Caribbean culture for an insensitivity, which I think we keep hearing and we heard again. So let's try to stop that. And we can't, if the person's not willing to stop it, we're going to have to get a little bit more forceful about it.
Thank you, John.
No, the point of personal privilege, this gentleman was obviously attacking me. I didn't miss his name.
Okay, John Crumpton's next, and then I think I'm going to say that we're going to take public comments again.
Okay, I'm going to make seven brief comments. First, on seven issues, people discover the station. When they discover the station, our listeners tell us how good it is. I talk to teachers all the time, and they tell me they never knew it was on the air. So the problem is not programming, but recognition. And the bus ads have gone a long way. I really applauded doing the bus ads. We've been asking for that for years, and it's important. People, when they discover the station, I'm talking about my programming, that people talk about educational issues to me. They say, I never knew it was on the air. It's wonderful. There's nobody else doing this. We only hear negative things about teachers and the teaching profession. We don't hear things that are positive that can help our students. Okay, so that's one. I'm sure every programmer here could repeat the same kind of story that they hear from people. If they could do it in Spanish with the programming that he does and let people know what he hears from his listeners. We all have that experience, but we don't have enough listeners because the word is not out. So that's what we are working on, and that's very positive that we're working toward that goal. Now, I want to look at the one issue having to do with fiscal responsibility. I think we've heard from Zoo, and I hope we take it to heart that we really need to take time to review this, to give the Finance Committee a chance to go over it more carefully. They meet on October 21st. We'll have plenty of opportunity to then take the benefit of their collective wisdom and make an informed decision. So I would hope that we would listen to those two people, both what Zoo told us as far as an interim budget and waiting for the Finance Committee to weigh in. With the CPB funding, there's one thing that stands in our way. We haven't completed an audit. If we we don't complete an audit, we can't get the money. So let's try at the national level to get that audit completed so we can get the CPB money. Why should we let hundreds of thousands of dollars go by the wayside because we don't do the basic, which is complete an audit? Please, let's do that and try to bring some pressure on those who can do it. One final comment about premiums. I know the Gary Knoll water filtration system was very expensive, but I talked to a number of people who bought it and actually got involved in the station because of that premium, because it was something that caught their attention and they felt they needed it. They knew a water shortage was coming up. You know, I understand. I don't know if it's pursuable, but Gary Knoll had offered to pay for the shipping costs, simply get the name and then send it out. So we would not have had the transportation to the station and then back out if we had provided him with that information. I don't know anything about the logistics, but it seems to me that would have been a very good solution for it. And maybe we should look into that a little bit further. And the final thing is, and John said this, John Parker, it's a great board, and we have so many Johns on the board. John Parker said it, we should treat one another with respect, and that means here. Someone listening to the stream should say, you know, these people who really represent our interests, they treat one another right. This is the kind of station I want to support, and I hope that we can engender that kind of feeling for all of us in anything that we do. Thank you.
So we're going to take another round of public comments at this point before we do another round of questions or decision making by the board.
You always take too much.
No, you take too much. Excuse me. What's the bell liar to you? Shut up.
Well, I have a few points to make, and I'll try to be as quick as possible. With regard to the Laundry's recent outburst, I find it to be really irresponsible and nearly libelous that a professional or academic person can come and represent the unwillingness of that side, which he pointed to, his faction, to cooperate. That's all I want to say about Lamont. John Wenger mentioned Lydia and mentioned Aris, and how he can even point to Aris and not notice and question the integrity of this man who has done so much for Pacifica and WBAI is just makes me just quiver.
I asked for clarification.
Chris Condon, a favorite white boy. He has a philosophy which has in the past talked about invading people's space and shooting them in the knees. Maybe he can do that to the program if he doesn't like the KPFK, going and shoot them in the knees. And my last comment has to do with Tim Calhoun's efforts to block progress on this board. I mean, other people have made statements about lack of progress, and the game planning that she participated in is just outrageous. Look, there's factionalism here. To move forward, to take this case to become successful, you guys need to cooperate. You can't block progress. You have to take.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Summer Reese is my friend.
Okay, I'm going to drop in. A few years ago, when I ran for the board, I was a candidate for the board. I took my little money and I made some bailouts right here, like this here. This is exactly one of the examples. And it says, it's time for a new KPFK. It says, vote for Shaking with Rob Bacon to the KPFK Local Station Board 2010. And then this is some of the issues that we were concerned with. And it says KPFK 90.7 FM
is experiencing the worst time ever in its history. Excessive fund drive, low listenership, lack of budget, massive layoffs, lack of an experienced and professional staff. That was 2010. It's 2014. I can go by on the same list. And we still have the same issues. And he was talking about getting word out. It didn't take 50 years to get the word out in the community of a big station like this. This was printed in the LA Times. KPFK is number 44 with a .2. Next to 45 is a .1. Anything lower than that is 0.0. So you're like next to zero listeners. And we're sitting, just like you mentioned, you're sitting around and trying to figure out how to raise money. Then it would solve all these problems that you're having. Increase the listenership. That's where your new money comes in. It's like when you go to a supermarket. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, good afternoon. Glad to be here. I want to say first that I'm touched by some of the words from the suitor today.
Can you speak to the mic?
I don't know why I'm not. It was too loud a while ago. Okay, I'm touched by some of your words here, Barry, and by sharing your vision. Number two, I'd like to say that I want to commend you for the recent East LA related program, which involved a remote broadcast. I was amazed, to tell you the truth. My point of view is that quite a bit on the station is pretty much bland progressive material and snake oil medicine content, but we sometimes still do hit the target. It varies. I'm delighted by your determination to return to the original 10-to-1 premium ratio in fund drive. I've had a lot of people tell me, for example, the subscription department, always been that way, and it's begun to sound zero this year, including people like Aaron Nell. Number four, I was glad to hear the request for balance sheets and your comments to revive those. We've been
30 seconds, please.
For about 10 years, and it never hangs anywhere. And that's it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, my name is Ben Mandel. And first of all, I'd like to thank our GM, Zuber, for coming out today. First time I've ever come to one of these meetings and have seen a GM. Let alone, and I like this committee for the work that you're doing and the work that you've been doing. I've got a lot of good comments from you, from people talked with you before. One of the things we could probably do to bring notoriety to the station, I thought, was to have concerts like they do on the jazz station. But this time, with somebody like maybe Carlos Nunez or Mark Maxwell, those guys have it because they have experience in doing it. That'll bring recognition, that'll bring people's attention to who KPFK really is. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say. But that's just an idea. I mean, that's just a thought. Okay, thank you very much.
Earlier I was not able to comment on the budget, and if you recall, the last time you were here, I sent you a host of questions via email on that budget that you wrote here. It was not actual, it was also a projection. Now these are projected numbers. Projected numbers can go up, can go down, and you really, if you don't have actuals, they really don't mean very much. So I want all of us to understand that. I want to, for years, I've been before since 2003, but for years, and particularly in 2005, I was able to acquire a balance sheet from Pacifica, which gave me each station, each unit balance sheet. A balance sheet is composed of two financial documents. The balance sheet shows bank cash, donations owed out, donations owed to Pacifica, KPFK, assets like building, furniture, equipment, intellectual property, etc., loans due to be paid out, accounts payable, meaning bills to be paid out that have not been paid out yet, and then the capital, which then shows the financial state at that particular time, the cumulative, and then the P&L. The P&L is very critical. We always get P&L. But if we don't get financial, like the balance sheet, then the P&L doesn't make sense either. And so I suggest that learning what the balance sheet is and the P&L is what we need. and I am alarmed that only $26,000 is projected for this year for promotion. In 2005, we had a budgeted item for $60,000 for promotion. Keep that under your hat.